Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, October 7th. Joining me by phone this morning, Mary Jones Wise. She is the great niece of Rosa Young. Good morning, Mary. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning. And I look forward to our conversation here to hear about your great aunt. Tell us, who was Rosa Young?
Rosa Young, in my mind, was a child of God that was before her time. She heard his call and began to do his work. She was one of 10 children born in Wilcox County, Alabama, one of the poorest counties in our nation, even until today, predominantly black people. And Rosa was a woman who early on felt the need to teach Jesus, not because she was from a family that was educated. Her father was a Methodist minister. She had teachers in her family, but she felt that there was something missing, and that missing piece in her mind, guided by the Holy Spirit, was Jesus Christ as a personal Savior.
So she was a teacher. A teacher, confessor, church planter are some of the terms that some of the titles that have been given to her. Why is she called the first Rosa?
She is called the first Rosa because in 1950s there was Rosa Parks, who was very involved in the civil rights movement and did a lot to move the civil agenda. And so as we began in the church to talk about Rosa here recently, we began to say, before Rosa Parks, there was another Rosa, and that Rosa would be Rosa Jency Young, my great aunt.
And what is it that your great aunt, that Rosa Young did that was significant, but a lot of people don't know her as the first Rosa. What is it that she did as the, quote, first Rosa that was significant?
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, they're saying that she was the first Rosa to talk about something bigger than our earthly life. She was the first Rosa to bring Jesus to the forefront as a personal Savior for people in that particular area of Wilcox County. The first Rosa in terms of asking people to look beyond themselves, that there is a higher power, Jesus, and his mission for us is to know him as a personal Savior, and not just that, but to move out then into our communities and help others so that they too might know Jesus as their Savior. I always thought, when I heard the term First Rosa, I thought of her as saying, we have a commission from God to go out into the world and teach others about Jesus as our personal Savior. So that is how I interpret the First Rosa.
Tell us about some of your memories of your great aunt.
My memories of her started very early on. I am also one of 11 children. My mother, who is Jency, was named for her mother's sister, Rosie Jency Young. And so we called her Miss Young at the time. She would be away in Selma when I came along. I think Rosa might have been in her early 50s or maybe late 40s when I was born. And she would come home. And when she would come home, she would always have a question for us children. Everyone would say, go meet Miss Young. Miss Young is home. We'd pick her berries or plums, and we would go to meet her. And then her first question was always to us, what are you going to be when you grow up? And so as a very little girl, I started kindergarten in one of the schools that she had started, Gethsemane Lutheran School in Hamburg, Alabama. And my early recollection is that 3-4, when I went to kindergarten, she would say, what do you want to be? And because I admired her, and she was always coming in from Selma, I right away said I wanted to be a teacher. And that would make her have kind of a hearty belly laugh. Oh, how nice. And then my younger brother, Oscar, a year younger, said I would be a minister. He wanted to be a preacher. I will be a minister. And Oscar and I became kind of Rosa's favorite. So that's what I remember, because she would let us move on. My oldest brother, Paul, could not ever quite think of what he wanted to be, so she had very little time for that. So I go back with her into my 3-4 years, because I started kindergarten at 3. Paul was going on 7, my older brother. And I just kept saying that because I liked how she looked in terms of her dress. I liked how people looked up to her, fix her breakfast and bring it to her and take things to her during the season. She would come at Christmas, and then she would come again in the summer. So those are my earliest remembrance of her. And sure enough, I grew up to become a teacher in our Christian day schools, taught for many years, and then later into the Minneapolis public schools.
When Miss Young, when Rosa was away at Selma, what was she doing?
She had started, because children who would go to her schools, but she started 30 schools in the Wilcox County area, one-room schools. And once the children finished those schools, they didn't have anywhere to go to school. They would go to the public schools, but because of the kind of agricultural then there in Wilcox County, they would probably not get in school much before November, and then already with February turning warm, they were taken out again to go work on the fields. So Rosa had thought, when these children finished the 8th grade, she was always looking forward to higher education. So she decided to start the Alabama Lutheran Academy, it was called at that time, and that would take kids from the 8th grade through 12th grade, and later it was a junior college, which I went through. So it was Alabama Lutheran Academy and college, and Rosa was some of everything there. She was at one time the dean of women, one time she was matron in the dormitories, one time, and always a teacher of religion. She always taught religion there to the 8th graders, and she was such a wonderful storyteller that many children who got a chance to meet her in the 8th grade became fascinated by her talking about Greenland and Africa and places that God would have us go to share the good news of Jesus as our Savior.
You mentioned that she was a good storyteller.
Wonderful.
Did she tell stories to you? Do you have memories of her sharing stories with you?
She told us stories of her life, about how she felt that God, she would say, I'm not always well. She was a sickly person from very early on, but she would tell us how God had a plan for us and that God did not make anyone that he was not in love with, that he loved us all so much that he was willing to send Jesus. She would tell us stories about the letters that she would be writing to people across the country to get monies to help build her school. Before the Lutheran Church came and helped her out, she already had a school attached to the Methodist Church, but had run out of funds. And so she was dreading, as she would tell us, I'm going to have to close my school. I'm not going to be able to help these children anymore. And so she began to look for outside resources. She was a very resourceful person. So she began to write and ask people to help her to keep her school open. And when she ran out of what she thought was all the human possibilities, she had an uncle who was attending Tuskegee Institute at that time, which had been started by Booker T. Washington. So she wrote him a letter saying, can you give me some help? My school is about to close due to the lack of funds and resources. He took the time to write her back and tell her that I have my hands full. I can't do anything to help you, but why not write to the Lutheran Church Colored Mission, Missouri Synod? And that is what she did. And that was the point where the church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which had some already enrolled into Louisiana and to the Carolinas, sent out Dr. Bakke to talk with her to pursue what that school, she was asking for her one school, what that school could become. And from that, he was able to, as I would say, peruse the land, look it over, and saw the possibilities of mission. And from that one school in Rosebud, Alabama, there were 30 other one-room schools.
How did Rosa's work and the Christian education that was developed there in the South, how did that, how do you think, in your opinion, how did that impact life and culture for people in the South, as you mentioned, in Louisiana and Alabama, Carolinas?
In Alabama, it was the catalyst for most of the black ministers and teachers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, because many of the people from her own Methodist background and the Baptists that were more prominent in the Wilcox County area, they saw, in my mind, a living Christ, someone who says, come unto me, all ye that are weary, and I will give you rest, taken, I will help you. And they saw that being lived out by this one woman who was willing to go in a county, very segregated, whites on one side and blacks on the other, and yet she was able to garner help from both the whites and the black to do this mission. So even in our church today, 2014, when I have a chance to gather with people of the Lutheran background, many and most of the black pastors and teachers somehow dates back to Rosebud, Alabama, and the Rosie Young efforts by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel of Christ. So culturally, it was most important for us as a people to believe that God had made us not to just be subservient or to live less than a child of God, but it gave us hope that, yes, God has a plan for my life and he can use me. And for her, the vehicle was education, and a Christian education, one that not only promoted the best for herself, but also bring along others. In terms of what it did around civil rights and all of that, as this project has been going forward, I have been trying to think. I don't ever know if she ever, in my remembrance, spoke about situation being black and white. I think she said that my people were the kind of catalyst of the mission. We were saving pennies for children in Africa, and Rosa was talking to us about what we needed to do right there in Wilcox County to share, and then as we moved out into the world, share of others. So I don't have much recollection of her talking about what would be in the Rosa Parks memoirs about civil rights, not much. She believed that God was a God of justice, a God of mercy and gracious, and had placed us here for a purpose, and that purpose was to share his love with everybody, starting with her own people.
The most recently, well, presently, there is a film, a movie being made about Rosa Young, about her life and her work as a teacher and as a church planner, as a Christian confessor. How do you think she would feel about this movie?
Knowing her, and I knew her for many years, I think she would be saying it's a bit much. And she would want to be sure that people would be putting Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, working through her, not so much about me. She was a very humble lady, and that way, sometime almost an oxymoron, because she could be very, I could say, feisty. She had something to say, she would do it. But in the same way, she was always thinking, maybe I shouldn't do this. I remember when I first read her book, she was talking about writing to these people and asking for money in Milwaukee and Minnesota and all over. And her thought was, maybe I shouldn't do this because they may be thinking too much about me. She wanted to be sure that it was about Jesus and his work and how he came to die for us, to save us, so that we too would know that God is love. So I don't think she would, she might think it's a bit much. My mother, on the other hand, who was named for her, would be just thrilled because that was her life. And I, as you know, I am a great niece. My mother was a niece, and Rosa Young still have 10 living nieces and nephews, ranging in the age of, I believe, 93 to 77. But many of them, there maybe four of those are still Lutherans. Others have gone to the Methodist and some other religions. But my mother always felt that Rosa was bigger than Wilcox County, and she always felt that. Other people didn't know that. And when I went to Concordia College, River Forest, Illinois, and I was telling her that people didn't know about Dr. Young and what she had done, my mother thought, this should be something that should be in the colleges, in the our Lutheran colleges especially. They should know that there was a person that was used by the Holy Spirit to help all people. And in our area, we once thought of Lutheran as being more like German and not anybody else. And so when I moved to Minnesota in 1970, and people began to talk to me about, well, how long have you been a Lutheran? When did you come? And I said, I was born into it. I understood at that point what my mother meant by the wider, especially Lutheran community, knowing more about the work of Rosa and what she had done to build a connection in Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, for people who knew Jesus as their personal Savior.
You mentioned her book. I'd like to talk more about that in just a moment. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll hear more about her book. Stick around for more His Time as we're talking with Mary Jones Wise, great niece of the Dr. Rosa Jinsey Young, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, October 7th, and we are talking with Mary Jones Weiss. She is the great niece of Rosa Young, Dr. Rosa Jinsey Young. And before we went to break, Mary, you had mentioned your great aunt's book, her autobiography called Light in the Dark Belt. What can you tell us about this book?
This book was back in, I think, 1927 or so. Dr. Young was writing to people, and she had met a friend in Milwaukee named Viola, whom she named her one of her sisters after. And this woman had asked Miss Young to write her a letter about her work and tell her she wanted to share it with her women circle in Milwaukee. And so Miss Young was reluctant. She says, well, I better talk to the superintendent. I better talk to this person because I don't know if this is good. And she talked to people. I think the superintendent name was Westcott. That might not be quite right. But she spoke with him, and he said, yeah, she said, I'll send the letter to you, and then you can send it to Mrs. Weir. And that's how this book came about. That was the first edition. And it was told in the language and the vernacular of the southern Alabama Wilcox County. So Rosa wrote all. Just as she was talking to a neighbor, as I mentioned, she's a good storyteller, she wrote that letter. And then the Mrs. Weir asked her if it would be all right if she would sell that and make a little money to help the mission. And so that is how the book had its first beginning. And she said, the light in the dark belt. She saw Wilcox County as many, many black people of African descent not knowing Christ, and she saw Jesus as the light of the world. And so that is how she decided to call it Light in the Dark Belt.
And the newest edition of this book is available, I believe, from Concordia Publishing House. Is that right?
It is right. They have done what has been called a commemorative copy, mm-hmm. which the front cover is no longer just the light in the dark belt, but it has a full-length picture of Rosa on the front cover. Many people, before they even meet me, and they see this picture, and then right away they say they can tell. I don't know how, but they say they see the resemblance of myself and Rosa Young. So that copy of Light in the Dark Belt, I don't know how many copies, whether it's a limited edition, but you can get it at Concordia Publishing House right now.
And it's an autobiography. It's told in her own voice.
Exactly. And her book, some of the language was as we became more aware and spread outside of the South in Wilcox County, Rosa used the language of how the people spoke and how they talked about each other, which was oftentimes very degrading. In the reprinting of the book and publishing, some of those negative terms have been replaced with the proper, I would say, God-given terms for people. But other than that, this book tells Rosa's story as she saw it back in early 1930 when it was first published, I think.
And the film, any idea how progress is coming on the film?
Just last Friday in rural Wilcox County, we finished the filming of the film documentary in it is supposed to be available, hopefully, for February 2015 during Black History Month. The problem is there still needs to be monies to do the editing, and the we have the film and it's all taken care of, but they're editing and distribution. So we are doing what we call promotion, if you will, speaking to different churches, asking different organizations, and eliciting help to get, I think what they're saying is another $35,000, maybe $40,000, so that we can get the book, get the film produced and distributed. And at this point, as I understand it, it is we would be given it within the Missouri Senate to different to churches. All the churches would have a copy. In my head, thinking ahead, I would hope in time once it's completed and we've had the money for the editing and distribution, that we might seek some public broadcasting station, because within the Lutheran Church there is a need to know Rosa Young. In my heart and soul, beyond the Lutheran Church, there is a reason to know that Rosa Young lived and died and confessed Jesus as her personal Savior, which give the rest of us hope. I also feel that by giving it to a PBS station or some other mean that would be for a region, we might inspire people to not look at how bad your situations are, but what blessings you have from God. How can you use what you have, your gifts from God, few or many, how can you use that right where you are to do something to make the world a better place to live, and most of all, to prepare people to meet Jesus, to know that there is a Savior, there is a person who made you in his own image so that you can one day live in his joy. So I am hoping that we will broaden it, but for sure within the church circles, but I hope through God's blessings we'll be able to get it out into the world.
So hopefully we can look for that film, The First Rosa, Teacher, Confessor, and Church Planter, in early spring, or just before spring, hopefully February of 2015. Today we've been talking with Mary Jones Wise, great niece of Rosa Young. Mary, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
I thank you so much, Andy, for having me and helping to share that there is a God who has made us and love us and expects us to share that good news with others. May you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the Daily New Testament reading with the Reverend Herb Mueller, First Vice President for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stick around for more His Time coming up in just a little bit right here on Worldwide KFUO.